Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Amma ba'd. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Viewers of Madri channel, please repeat after me. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurallah Viewers of Madri channel, welcome to tonight with Madri channel. Before we begin the topic today, I'd like to give you a blessing of reciting Durood e Paak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, whoever likes that Allah azza wa jal is pleased with him when he meets him on the day of judgment, he should recite salat upon me in abundance. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should at least try and utilize that time, and one of the best ways of utilizing that time is in reciting Durood e Paak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala. So please make a habit that you recite it in abundance. And where we tell you about those blessings where you recite it in abundance, the ulama ikram have said that abundance is those people that recite at least 313 times a day. 313 times, if you pick a simple Durood e Paak like sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then again that will only take you 10-15 minutes. So 10-15 minutes of your day, in which alhamdulillah, the moment you have a lot of time, utilize that time and send Durood e Paak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In today's program, we're going to very, very briefly discuss some of the unfortunate acts of a Muslim. And these 15 acts that we're going to go through are something that Amir al-Sunnat mentioned many, many years ago in a bayan before Madani Channel was with us. And I remember listening to a bayan of Amir al-Sunnat on a cassette tape where he talked about the unfortunate acts of the Muslim. And he mentioned 15 things. And we're going to quickly go through these 15 things today. And obviously we're going to translate it into English for you. And hopefully we can learn something from it. The first thing, and whilst we're going through these 15 acts, look at yourself, ask yourself, that am I falling into the traps of any of these? Am I part of any of these unfortunate acts? Am I doing any of these things that are being mentioned today? And do a self-analysis. And at this time when we're at home, we should be doing our self-analysis. This is the time to analyze ourselves, to see where we are and where we're going and where we should be going, and do something about it. So this is the time to look at ourselves, look at our weaknesses and try and remove our weaknesses. Look at our strengths and try and enhance them strengths, and look at the opportunities that you have been given and look at this time positively. With regards to the first act, Allahu Akbar, I think many of us are unfortunately going to be falling at this act. A lust after wealth and greedy for wealth. You know, even in these unfortunate times, even in these times, many of us are looking for business opportunities, looking for opportunity to make more money. And we're seeing that people are hiking up the prices so that they can make more money. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala, in Tanbihul Ghafilin, he said that when currency is minted, the devil kisses the coin and say, whoever becomes your slave will become mine. And unfortunately, even outside of these times, then we see people that when they sell something, or they sell a car and they've got £1,000 or a couple of £1,000 or whatever it is. Unfortunately, even in today's day, you've seen people kissing the money before they put it in their pocket. And this is an act of shaitan that shaitan used to kiss. Shaitan kissed the first coin and he said, whoever becomes your slave will become my slave. And unfortunately, what happens is we have this mindset now that everything in our mind revolves around money. Everything that we do, it revolves around money. Every action that we do, it revolves around money. And the problem that we are facing nowadays is that we do not have a Madani mindset. We may look Islamic, we may eat Islamic, we may even, some of our actions look Islamic. But our minds are not the Madani mindset, as we would say. We've not got a Muslim mind. And I say this is because that what we do is we look for opportunities to make more money, but we don't look for opportunities to enhance our book of deeds, to make more good deeds in our account. We don't look for them opportunities. You know, we are told that if you read your namaz in the masjid, you get 27 times more sawab. But unfortunately, nowadays, we make excuses. Even before the current situation, we made excuses about not going to the masjid. But if I was to say to you, look, work at home, I'll give you £10 an hour. Come to work at my place, I'll give you £270 an hour. You would all come to me. Wherever it is, a mile away, 10 miles away, 20 miles away. Why? Because it's money. But when it comes to getting them deeds, an abundance in deeds, why are we not having the thinking about that? Because our mind doesn't revolve around the opportunity to grab good deeds. We're greedy for money, but we're not greedy for good deeds. And we are blessed with this. We are blessed with the beautiful days in Islam. We're blessed with Jummah. We're blessed with Shab-e Barat. We're just with Shab-e Miraj. We're blessed with the month of Ramadan, in which, you know, your deeds are multiplied. That a nafil is a farz, and a farz is 70 times more. We're blessed with a night in the last 10 nights. Laylatul Qadr, Shab-e Qadr, that night that the ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been blessed with. And Allah azza wa jalla says that night your reward for that night is more than 1,000 months. Now get out your calculators and you'll see that it's more than 80 years reward in one night. One night doing ibadat is more than 80 years. And if I was to say to you, look, work for me a month, and in one night in that month, as long as you don't take a night off, in one night in that month, I'll pay you 80 years salary. In one night. Would you miss any night's work? No, you wouldn't. But when Allah Azza wa Jalla says, I'm giving you more than 80 years of sawab, of blessings on that one night, do we look for it? Do we search for it? And even if we say, okay, during the last 10 days, the ulama ikram have said it's in the last 10 days, it's in the odd nights, and even some people have pointed to the 27th night. On the 27th night, ask yourself, what were your actions on that night? Did you stay up and worship Allah Azza wa Jalla that night? Did you stay up and read the Quran on that night? Did you stay up and do extra nafils on that night? Or like other nights, you got up, did your sari, and went back to sleep. So this is what I'm trying to say, viewers of Madani Channel, that our mindset is not there. We don't look for these opportunities. We lust after wealth. We're greedy for money. We're greedy for all of these things, but we don't look for those opportunities where Allah Azza wa Jalla can bless us with getting them extra deeds. And at this time, we should be looking for them. We should be watching Madani Channel, listening to what the Mubaligs of Madani Channel are saying, look, here's an opportunity. If you do this, you'll get more sawab. Do the zikr of Allah, you'll get more sawab. Do the read the Quran, you'll get more sawab. Do read your 5 times a day. Do these extra tahajjud, nafil, chaas, ishraq. Do all these extra prayers. You'll get more blessings. These are your opportunities. Utilize your time. Oh, I was sitting there thinking to ourselves, you know what? This is going to last for 3 weeks. This is going to last for 8 weeks. This is going to last for 12 weeks. In 12 weeks, I can do this. I can do this. And financially, I can recover. And financially, I can make this moment. And we're making plans that we don't even know that time is going to come to us, where we're not making plans for the day that we've got today. And that is one of the unfortunate acts of a Muslim that is greedy for wealth, but not greedy for good deeds. The second unfortunate act of a Muslim is that he has love of this world and its pleasures, and he has no preparation for the hereafter. Allahu Akbar. We think that we're immortal. We think that we're never going to die. Even when we go to the janazah and we look at the dead body and we pay our last respects, we look at it, and the whole idea of looking at that dead body is to think to yourself that that body is saying to you, look, I'm here now. You could be next. Whenever you go to a graveyard, if you get the opportunity, look at them empty graves, or look at them graves where they've dug them and they put like slabs on top of them. In some places, they dug a grave and they put sheets on top of them. Look at them graves and think to yourself that the graves dug. And in most cases, people have their own coffins at the home. The grave has been dug. The coffin is ready. What is that person doing right now? Is that person ready for that grave? Or is he thinking that he's living forever and he's just going to carry on and on and on? And is he preparing himself for the hereafter? And is he looking for opportunities to attain the hereafter? Unfortunately, we don't. We have so much love for this dunya that we think it's never going to happen to us. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he compared this dunya to the akhirat, he said that if you were to put your finger in the sea, you put your finger in the sea, take your finger out, your finger's wet. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this moisture, this water on your finger, this is the dunya. And that sea, that is the akhirat. What are we running after? This water on our fingers. This moisture on our fingers. Well, we're not running after the sea. You know, someone gave us a beautiful example once. He said that, you know, in this country, and probably in a lot of countries, Western countries in particular, people come here on different types of visas, work visas, they come here on all sorts of different types of visas. And when they come here, what happens is they work here and they make money to the best of their ability and they stay here. But then what happens is when the visa expires, and if they do not go back to the country of origin, they're classed as illegal immigrants. Now, the illegal immigrant and the legal immigrant, his way of life is different. The illegal immigrant, he's always looking over his shoulder because he's afraid that if he gets caught, he's going to get took to a detention center. And when he gets took to a detention center, he's going to get taken from the detention center to the airport and sent back to his country of origin. And not only that, what he does is he works as hard as he can because he's scared he's going to get caught. He tries to make as much money as he can because he's scared he's going to get caught. And what does he do? He doesn't build palaces here. He doesn't buy cars here. He doesn't do all of them things. What does he do? He keeps on getting the money and sending it back to his home or country. Get the money, sending it back. Get the money, sending it back. He doesn't even put it in the bank because he knows that if he gets caught, he's not going to even get time to go to the bank. Viewers of Madani Channel, today I'm going to ask you a question. I'm not asking you today, what did you send back home? I'm not asking you, what have you sent back to your country of origin? I'm asking you, what have you sent forward? What have you sent to that place that you will be going? Because that illegal immigrant, sooner or later, he thinks he's going to get caught. But the government could issue an amnesty and say, okay, all those illegal immigrants, we'll make them legal. But that's not going to happen with the angel of death. The angel of death, there's no amnesty there. You're going to get caught. Sooner or later, you're going to get caught. No matter what age you are, no matter what your health is. So the question is, are you still loving this world or are you doing anything to prepare for the hereafter? And we need to think about this, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, and prepare for the hereafter. And again, take advantage of the time that you have been given. Look at it as a blessing and take advantage of that time. Number three, the unfortunate act of a Muslim is that he talks degradingly, he swears and he backbites. You know, unfortunately nowadays, youngsters especially, and I'm targeting the youngsters in this particular case, but it's not just the youngsters, it's everybody as well, but the youngsters in particular, what they do is when they're in a crowd of people, they feel that unless they swear, they can't complete a sentence. You know, they say that every sentence needs a verb to be able to complete it. It needs something inside there. A lot of the youngsters today think that unless they swear, they've not completed the sentence. And unfortunately, this is, you know, these degrading words are not good for you. The ulama ikram have said, the bazurgs have said, the scholars have said, it is better for you to eat excrement than it is for you to swear. Because if you eat excrement, then eventually your insides can get clean, but this swearing, it stains your inside. You know, but unfortunately, we don't think twice about it. Backbiting, talking about our Muslim brother behind their back in such a way that if they were to hear it, it would hurt them. You know, there's a beautiful book by Amir Lusun called Backbiting, A Cancer of Our Society. It's available in English. Read that book and you'll be astonished at the examples that Amir Lusun gives in every situation. You can be at a wedding, for example, and the examples are there that you're complaining about the food. You're saying there's no salt in the food. There's not enough meat in the curry. There's not enough meat in the palau. Why they've not got this dish. Why they've not got that dish. Why they've only got one fizzy drink there. Why they've not got this. Why they've got not that tea. Why they've not got these things. And all of this, you know, is backbiting. But we don't even realizing it. And the reason why we don't even realize that we're backbiting is because we're not aware of this. Alhamdulillah, there is a silsila on Madani Channel called Backbiting. And our English Mubalik Haroon Bhai has done that whole silsila. Watch that program. Watch that program and download the book from www.dawatislami.net. And again, utilize this time. Find out what backbiting is and refrain from backbiting. And I've just given you an example. I think Imam Ghazali rahmatullah ta'ala said, if you talk bad about someone's clothes behind the back, then this is backbiting. You talk someone bad about someone's mode of transport behind the back, then this is backbiting. And so this when we're talking about people behind their back, about their things, then this is backbiting. So viewers of Madani Channel, please, we need to refrain from the sin of backbiting. Number four, Allahu Akbar. In the current climate, we should not have an excuse for this one. In the current climate, there should not be a single Muslim that falls into this trap. Lazy in the five daily salah. Allahu Akbar. There's a hadith park in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that on the day of judgment, the very first question you will be asked to a man out of his deeds will be about his salah. And if his salah is correct, he will succeed. But if it is incomplete, he will be disgraced and he will suffer loss. Viewers of Madani Channel, please, I'm appealing to you at this time. Please correct your salah. Please read your salah 5 times a day. You know, many years ago, there was a story I want to share with you with regards to this. There was a new Muslim, someone that had become a Muslim about 6-8 months, and he worked from home. You know, even at them times, his job was such that I think he was some sort of a designer or something that he used to work on computers from home and do his work from home. And one day he asked me a question. And he said to me, I'm going to ask you this question, but brother, I want you to say, no, it's not true. So I thought, you're asking me the question, and you're already telling me the answer. What's the point in asking the question? He said, no, I just want to make sure. I just want to make sure. And I said, okay, fair enough, asking me the question. He said, I have heard that there are Muslims who do not pray their salah. You know, when this question was asked to me, all I could do was put my head down. I couldn't even look at him in the face, look at him in the eye, and what answer was I to give to him? And he said to me, no, come on, don't say that. And I'd not said anything. This is impossible. How is it? And obviously, my actions gave him the answer. And he said, how is it possible that there are Muslims out there that do not pray their salah? I don't believe it. How can they call themselves a Muslim and yet they fail to read the salah? Question for all of us. How can we call ourselves a Muslim and fail to read our salah? Dear Islam brothers, please make a habit of reading your salah in these times especially. And inshallah, take this as an opportunity where you can discipline yourself, where you can get into good habits. This is an opportunity where if you get into the habit of reading your namaz 5 times a day, then when you get busy again, then that routine will stick there. Please take advantage of this time. Number 5, as we move on. The unfortunate act of the Muslim, my dear viewers of Madri Channel, is that he has bad company. The company that you keep. Look at yourselves and think to yourselves, what is the company that you keep? The example I wanted to give you about bad company is that your company affects you. Yeah? It affects you and you are reflected of that company. And you will become like that company. You'll be distinguished by your friends, by the people that you meet. And, you know, think about it to yourself, there's many examples that I can give to you. For example, if you're, you know, into any activity, right? If you're involved in any activity, and when the time for namaz comes, and you are the only person that reads your namaz, to leave the activity and to go to read your namaz is hard. Why? Because your friends, the company that you keep, they will say to you, look, leave this, yeah? Come and you know, stay with us. You can't even give up one namaz for us. You cannot even do this for us. Yeah? And what will happen is they'll make you feel guilty, the peer pressure will affect you, and you'll end up missing one namaz. You'll miss one, then you'll miss two, then you miss three, then you miss four, and slowly, you become like your friends. But if on the flip side, you're involved in an activity, whatever that is, and in that activity, all of your friends, the company that you keep, they read the namaz. When the time for namaz comes and they say, we're stopping, we're going to read our namaz. Come on, brother, you read your namaz as well. Maybe you've never read your namaz. Maybe you don't read your namaz. And maybe you'll come up with 101 excuses. Oh, my clothes are dirty. Oh, I've got to make a few phone calls. Oh, I've got to do this. I'll be back in a minute. I've just got to go and do this errand. I'll see you in 10 minutes. And you make all these excuses. But for how many times are you going to make these excuses? Sooner or later, you're going to think to yourself, you know what? I might as well just read my namaz with these. I've got nothing else to do for the next 10 minutes. And slowly become habitual in your namaz. Why? As a result of the people that you associate yourselves with. And your company that you keep can affect you. There was a person that used to come to the masjid here, not very far from us. A few years ago, this was an incident that happened. And this person, he used to come to the masjid, but what he would do is, after work, he would go to his distant cousins. And his distant cousins, they used to take drugs. They used to take drugs at home, and they used to sit together, have a bit of a gathering, and take drugs. And one of the brothers approached him and said, look, you know, nothing against your family, but however, where you are going, brother, look, you know, they're taking drugs there. So it might be better for you if you refrain from that. Don't go to that place. And he turned around and said, look, do you think I'm mad? I'm 35 years old. I've got kids, I've got a wife and children. I'm not going to start taking drugs. I just go there to have a bit of relaxation, to have a bit of chat with them. I'm never going to take drugs. Fair enough. One day what happens is he had a bad day at work. Yeah. He's had a bad day at work with his boss. He comes home and the wife's had a bad day with the kid. The kid's been crying all day. The kid's not well. So what happens is the husband and wife start arguing with each other, and the baby's crying in the middle. And so with all this arguing that's going on, he storms out the house. And what does he storm to? He storms out the house and goes to his distant relative's house. He's now fed up. He's had a bad day. He's had an argument with his wife. The kid's crying. He's got no peace. And they offer him a cigarette. But it's not a tobacco cigarette. And lo and behold, within a short space of time, that same person who had never touched drugs and said he would never touch them, he became a heroin addict. This is a true story. He became a heroin addict. And the problems that his family faced, I know. They struggled to get him off this habit. They sent him away, isolated him. You know, they put him in isolation so that he could recover from this illness. So this is a reality that the company you keep affects you. Here's another channel. We're coming on to point number six now. And in point number six, we are told that the unfortunate Muslim has a bad character and he performs bad actions. Allahu Akbar. In the time of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a namazi janazah. And as people were walking, the janazah was going past, people were saying that this person was such a good person. He was such a pious person. He was such a respectable person. He was such a kind person. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when a person passes away, if people speak good about that person, then Jannah, paradise, is wajib for that person. In the same instance, what happened was, somebody passed away and people were speaking ill about that person. They were speaking negative about that person. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if a person passes away and people speak bad about that person, then hell becomes wajib for that person. Viewers of Madri Channel, please contemplate and think about yourself. What do people think about you? What image am I giving? And we've said to, you know, the Mubaliks of Dawud Islam say to many people that, look, it says Muslim on your forehead. You represent the Deen of Islam. You might not be a Mubalik, you might not be sitting here on the channel, but every single person, every single Muslim, you represent the Deen of Islam. Your actions represent Islam. How many of you that are watching me and will agree with me that you're in an office, you're working in an office environment, yeah, and in the office they're going out for a drink, they're going to the pub to have some alcohol, they're going to a party and there's going to be alcohol there, and you say, look, sorry, I'm a Muslim, I don't drink. And what do? They give you examples of Muslims. They say, oh, that Muslim drinks, why don't you drink? And when you're fasting during the month of Ramadan, you're fasting and they say to you, well, he's not fasting. And, well, yeah, I am. It's obligatory. And why is it not obligatory for him? So each and every one of us represents Islam. It is farz upon us to fast in the month of Ramadan. But if for whatever reason you are not fasting in the month of Ramadan, then hide it. Hide it from people that you're not fasting. Even if you have legitimate Shari reasons for not fasting, then hide it from people. Because people will take it as a negative. People will say, well, look, he's doing this, then why are you not doing that? Each and every one of us represents the Deen of Islam. So our bad actions and our bad character is again another unfortunate act of a Muslim. And unfortunately, I feel that a lot of them, we've only mentioned six so far, but I think there'll be very, very few people out there, myself included, that can get over these six hurdles successfully. And we've got another nine to go yet. Number seven, Allahu Akbar. Excessive pride. You know, when we have a little bit of education, or we get a good job, or we get money, or we get a nice car, then we think we're it. We think we've made it. You know, people should listen to me. I don't have to listen to anybody now. You know, I'm the boss now. I run a company now. I've got 20 people working for me. And so we have this pride inside us as well. And also what happens is we also, unfortunately, there are those people that have a different pride. This is a pride from a worldly point of view. We have a pride there because of the money that you've gathered, because you've got a pride there because of the status that you've got, pride there because of the power that you've got. But there are other people that have pride. Why? Because of they feel that they've got a ticket to paradise, that they've been on Hajj every year, they've been on Umrah every year, they've performed Ihtikaf during the month of Ramadan every year, they've read so many Qur'ans during that year, they've done this and they've given that much to charity, and they think that they've got this pride inside them that they think, I am it. Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, the one that was guaranteed paradise in his lifetime. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you are guaranteed paradise. But what did he say? He said that if Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to only admit one person into the hellfire, then I'm afraid that that person will be me. He had that fear inside him. He had that fear inside him that if there's only one person that's going into the hellfire, then that person is going to be me. But then he also believed in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he said that if there's only one person going to enter paradise, then inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, I will be that person. But he had that fear. He didn't have that pride inside him. And nowadays, we think we are it. You know, Islam has so much to offer, my dear viewers of Madri Channel. And like a fruit tree, we need to be humble in front of people, rather than stern in front of us. So please be humble. Be humble at home, be humble in your workplace, be humble in your environment. Then inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla will be humble in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Number 8, Allahu Akbar. Stopping people's profits, not wanting other people to succeed. Even now, there will be people sitting at home thinking to themselves, you know what? Because of this current climate, that person's business is going to go down. Opportunity for me, that. When his business goes down, he's going to struggle. He's not got the financial resources to see through this. So you know what? I'll wait until he's really, 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 really struggling, and I'll buy it. I'll buy the business off him, because he's not doing online sales at the moment. So what I'll do is I'll buy the business off him when he's about to go bankrupt, and I'll start doing online sales. And I'll do online sales, and I can build this business up, and I can be successful. And so what happens is, unfortunately, the Muslims, what they do is when they see a Muslim that is not succeeding, rather than being sad, or rather than giving them advice to help them, part of their nafs, they won't openly smile, they won't openly show that they're happy, but deep down inside them, part of them is happy that that Muslim is failing. We don't want to see our Muslims succeeding. We deep down, some of us are happy that our Muslims are failing. Whereas what we should be doing is, if you feel that a Muslim business is failing, and you can phone him up and say, look, brother, you know, I know you're going to be struggling at the moment. You're struggling to get customers. Well, why don't you look into online sales? Why don't you look into this now? Why don't you try and do this now? Why don't you try and do that now? And help our fellow Muslim brother. But unfortunately, we won't do that. There's a beautiful incident that happened in the streets of Medina, and it was mentioned in one of the booklets of Amir al-Sunnah. And he mentioned this incident that took place in the streets of Medina, where somebody came into the shop, somebody was selling cloth. And when they were selling cloth, this person came and he said, look, I want to buy a certain amount of cloth. I want to donate this. I want to give this cloth in sadqa. And I want X amount of cloth. I want a certain quality, and I don't want to pay over this amount. The shopkeeper said, I have that material that you wish. I have the quantity that you want. And yes, I can sell it at the price that you want to sell it as well. However, my brother, across the road, I've been looking, there's a shop that also sells material. I've been selling material today, I've had a lot of customers. Well, I've been looking at his shop, and nobody's gone into his shop yet. Go there and buy it off him. Yeah? He needs some customers, go and buy the material off him. Allahu Akbar. How many of us would do that? If a person, and I'm not saying you should do it, but what I am saying is how many of us has this mentality where we should help our fellow Muslim brothers, right? The opposite unfortunately happens. Like when somebody comes into our shop and they say to us, that, okay, well, we've seen what you've got, we've seen this phone that you're selling, okay, well, what I'll do is I'll just go down the road and I'll have a look in his shop and see what he's got, and maybe I'll come back. What are our actions then? A lot of time people say, no, don't go there. His phones, they're dodgy. His stuff is, no, he's selling seconds. He's selling stolen goods. Oh, I've had a lot of complaints from him. Yeah, if you want to go, you can go, but it's on your head. You know, you take the risk. Yeah, please, support your fellow Muslims. Help your fellow Muslims. Don't be in that mindset where you want to see them fail. Be happy for your fellow Muslims when they're succeeding. I'm not saying send all your customers away. Yes, you need to obviously you run your business and keep your customers. But for the sake of a few pennies, when that customer decides to go to a different shop, you've lied. You've done ghibah on that person. You've slandered that person. Maybe all them things that you're saying are not true. Why? Because you want to earn a few pennies. You've backbited. Why? Because you've earned a few pennies. Learn to respect your fellow Muslim brother. Learn to support your fellow Muslim brother. Learn to feel his pain when he's feeling his pain, when he's struggling financially, when his business is going down, then help him. You know, nowadays we don't want our fellow Muslim brothers to succeed. We need to have this mentality that don't stop other people from succeeding. Help them to succeed. And when people are failing, don't be happy inside yourselves. Help them to get back on their feet. Number 9. Allahu Akbar. No mercy for the believers. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that if you have mercy on others, then the merciful one will have mercy on you. O people, be merciful to the people of the earth, and Allah Azza wa Jal will be merciful to you. Allahu Akbar. Unfortunately today, we have a mentality where we're not willing to forgive each other. We don't forgive our fellow Muslim brothers. We don't forgive them for whatever they have done. I won't forgive you, I won't forgive you, I won't forgive you. Why? And if you go to the crux of it, in many times it's something so minor that we're not forgiving each other. And if it is something major, then forgive them. You know, I had a relative who used to say that, you know, mutti pao, meaning that whenever there's a problem, just forget it. Just forget it. Just forget the problem. Forgive them and move on. Yeah? But what do? We don't forgive each other. I won't forgive you. I won't forgive you. Why? Because I'm better than you. Why? Because I'm bigger than you. Why? Because I'm more powerful than you. Why? Because I've got more money than you. Why? Because I'm older than you. And yet, Ya Allah, please forgive us. If you have mercy on others, then the merciful one will have mercy on you. All people, be merciful to the people of the earth, and Allah Azza wa Jal will be merciful to you. Allahu Akbar. We need to get into this habit of forgiving each other. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that even if you are in the right, even if you are on haq, even if what you have done is right, even if in that instance you forgive them, you are not wrong. They are the ones that are wrong. Yeah? But you say, okay, forgive me. Forgive me. Tiga, forgive me. Forget it. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if you're in that situation where you are in power and you forgive someone and you forgive them, then in the paradise you will be built a house in the corner of a paradise will be given to you. Allahu Akbar. Moving on, number 10. The unfortunate Muslim is he who's stingy. Stingy in the sense that he's not willing to spend any money in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Not willing to spend money on his family as well. Allah's Apostle has said, anyone for whom Allah has given wealth but does not pay his zakat, then on the day of resurrection, viewers of Madani Channel, please listen to this. I'm going to request you to pay your zakat now, inshallah. Pay it to Dawah Islami, inshallah. You can contact us and we'll give you the bank account details. Pay your zakat and calculate your zakat. Work out what your zakat is accurately and pay it. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever, anyone whom Allah has given wealth, but he does not pay his zakat, then on the day of resurrection, his wealth will be presented to him in the shape of a bald-headed poisonous male snake with two poisonous glands in its mouth. And it will encircle itself around his neck and it will bite him over his cheeks and he will say, I'm your wealth. I am your treasure. Viewers of Madani Channel, please, you know, we need to spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Even in these difficult times, we are told that sadaqah, spending in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, closed 70 doors of evil. Sadaqah can cleanse them, the sins that we have given, that we have committed. Sadaqah is an opportunity to seek the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And at this time, we need to spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla as well. You know, there may be a lot of people out there that are saying, well, yeah, you're right. But you know what? I work hard for my money. Yeah, you do. You work 12 hours a day for your money. You work 16 hours a day for your money. There were people out there that are saying, well, I studied for 5 years, I studied for 6 years, I studied for 8 years to get my MBBS, to get my law, to get my degree, to become a solicitor, a barrister, accountant, doctor. You studied hard. Yes, I agree with you. But one question I have for you. Who give you the strength to work 12 hours a day? You're working 12 hours a day. Who give you that ability? Who give you the intellect to get that degree? Who give you the opportunity to get that degree? Who give you the opportunity to get that job? Who give you the health to be able to work at that place? These are all blessings from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And on the day of judgment, we'll be accountable for all of our blessings. Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, I'm implying to you, please spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The number 11. Allahu Akbar. I think we basically touched upon this earlier. Forgetting death and not thinking about it. Viewers of Madani Channel, we're all going to die. You know, when we say to people that go to the graveyard and look at the graves and you see the 80-year-old, the 70-year-old, but you also see the 30-year-old and the 20-year-old. We're hearing that people in the 20s are dying and the 30s are dying and the 40s are dying and the 50s are dying. And it's taking anybody. Yeah? What are we doing to prepare ourselves for death? Are we remembering death? Are we remembering that time will come? Yeah? And you know, there are things that if you do, you can cause yourself to have a bad end. Meaning, Islamically, a bad end is that when you die with that iman. So this is the time where we need to protect our iman, and we need to look at those things that can take our iman away from us. And there are many, many things. And there's a booklet of Amir al-Sunnah that you can download from www.dawahislamin.net called Causes of a Bad End. And in that booklet, it mentions those acts that if you take them, for example, if you're disobedient to your parents, if you're lazy in your salah, you know, if you do not reply to the azan, all of these acts, and there are many there that are listed from different hadiths and different sources that tell you that if you take part of this, then you run the risk of losing your iman. So this time, we need to think about death. We need to think about protecting our iman, and we need to do those things to protect our iman. Number 12 and 13 we'll mention together. Number 12 is forgetting your previous sins, and number 13 is remembering your good deeds. Viewers of Madani Channel, if I was to ask you to send me in a message now, when was the last time you performed Umrah? When was the last time you performed the Hajj? When was the last time you sat in Ittaqaf? When was the last time you completed the Quran? When was the last time you donated in the way of Allah? So you would all have answers for that. And you wouldn't just have one answer. If I was to say to you, okay, tell me the last 5 times you went on Umrah. Tell me the last 5 times you read the Quran. Tell me the last 5 times you did a certain good deed. You'll be able to write it down. You'll be able to send messages in. I'm not going to ask you to send messages in. But I'm going to ask you another question. And on this question, I'm also not going to ask you to send messages in. You remember all your good deeds. But do you remember the last sins that you committed? Do you remember all the sins that you committed? Do you remember all those sins that you committed and when you did them? You know, we have a false sense that sometimes we close the door and think nobody can hear us. We switch off the light and think nobody can see us. We go to a different place, a different town, a different place where nobody knows us and think, nobody knows us here, I can do what I want. Allah can see you when you switch off the light. Allah can hear you when you close the door. Allah knows where you are every single second of your life. You cannot hide from Allah Azza wa Jalla. But do we remember the sins that we have committed? Or do we even not even think about it? We just brush them under the carpet and think, yeah, okay, we'll worry about it later. You might never have the time to worry about it. Now is the time to worry about it. Every moment of your life is a time to worry about it every day. And if you are fortunate enough, and again, a humble request to all of you, is to download from www.dawahislamin.net, go to the booklets and find the Madani Namat. It's a small risala, self-accountability. Read that. And in that, Amir al-Sunnah advises that every day, do Salatul Tawbah. Before you go to sleep, repent from all the sins that you've committed. And do 2 rakats with the intention of Salatul Tawbah to repent from all the sins that you've committed. Viewers of Madani Channel, don't remember them good deeds because you don't even know them good deeds are going to be accepted or not. Worry about your sins because you will be held accountable for them. Your good deeds, you might not even be accepted, but your bad deeds, you will be held accountable for them. Every single one of them. They'll all be written down, they'll all be exposed. That carpet that you've hidden the sins on, that carpet is going to get lifted and all them sins are going to be in front of you. Allahu Akbar. So remember the sins that you've committed. Repent from the sins that you've committed. Contemplate over them actions. Sincerely repent and remember those sins and forget about them good deeds. May Allah Azza wa Jalla accept them. Do dua, Ya Allah, accept whatever good deeds I have done. Ya Allah, forgive me for all the sins that I have committed. Ya Allah, through your mercy, turn my sins into good deeds. But remember them sins. Allahu Akbar. Number 14, we are not happy with what one has, and we are always looking to others and complaining. Allahu Akbar. Sheikh Sadi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he was traveling in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And in his mind, he thought to himself that, you know, I'm traveling in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. I haven't got any shoes. Ya Allah, I'm in your way. I'm traveling in your way, but I'm not even blessed that I have enough wealth to buy a pair of shoes and I'm walking barefooted. Sheikh Sadi Ramatullahi Ta'ala then saw a person that had no legs, crawling on the ground. And he did shukr in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Ya Allah, I thank you. I thank you 1,000,000 times. You bless me with legs. You bless me with feet. You bless me with the opportunity to stand up. Ya Allah, we should be happy with whatever we have been given. Whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has bestowed you, be happy with it. Sometimes we do not know the plan of Allah Azza wa Jalla. At that time we think that, why has he got that? Why has he not got this? Why is he achieving this? Why am I not getting this? Yeah. And sometimes this why, if you're not careful, it can take you to kufr, because you're saying to yourself, why him? Why has he got this? Why has he got that? Why not me? Why not me? Why is Allah not giving me na'uzubillah? Why are you questioning? You shouldn't question these things. You should do shukr in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that Allah has blessed you with whatever you've got. And we've given this example before, and we'll give it again today to all the viewers of Money Channel. If you want to realize how lucky you are, Allahu Akbar. If you want to realize how lucky you are, get your hand like that. Tie your hand up. And try living 1 hour like this. 1 hour. Just 1 hour. You can't pick up a cup of tea. You struggle on your mobile phone. You can't open your door. So many things you can't do. And within 1 hour, you will realize how lucky you are that Allah's blessed you with a thumb. Just that thumb. How lucky I am, Ya Allah, that I've got a thumb. How lucky I am that I've got an index finger. A shahadat ungli. How lucky I am that Allah, you bless me with a hand. How lucky I am, Ya Allah, you bless me with two hands. You bless me with arms. You bless me with eyes. You bless me with a nose. You bless me with a tongue. You bless me with the ability to stand up. You bless me with the intellect to be able to listen and to understand. You bless me with the intellect to be able to communicate. Ya Allah, I'm so lucky. If I have nothing else and I have what I've just mentioned, then you are amongst the luckiest people in the world. If only we realize how lucky we are. We should do shukr in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Whatever happens to you, whatever problem befalls you, do shukr in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Whatever happens to you, always be thankful in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Coming on to number 15, the last one. The unfortunate Muslim is he who looks to others who are not following the deen and uses them as an example for their own actions. Well, he's doing it, so it must be all right. He's doing it, must be all right. He's, you know, buying lottery cards, it must be all right. He's selling alcohol, it must be all right. He's doing this, it must be all right. This doesn't wash. On the day of judgment, your excuse cannot be that he was doing it, so Ya Allah, I did it because he was doing it. No, whatever you do in your life, you are held accountable for. And if you are not sure whether you're doing is what you're doing is right or wrong, then phone up Darul Iftar. There's a Darul Iftar here in the UK. Inshallah, send us your message and we'll give you the number for Darul Iftar. There's a Darul Iftar here in the UK. You can phone them up and say, Mufti Saab, this is what I want to do. This is the business I want to do. I want to sell alcohol. I want to sell lottery tickets. I want to do this. I want to do whatever it is. And he will make the decision. He will tell you whether it's halal for you or a haram for you to do this. Whatever business it is, I want to sell cars, I want to open a garage, I want to do this, I want to do that. Whatever you do, get it scanned. You know, get a shari scanning on it effectively. Phone Mufti Saab and say, Mufti Saab, this is what I want to do. Is it okay to do it? Mufti Saab says it's okay, then it's okay. But don't think to yourself, oh, well, he's doing it and he's doing it and he's doing it, so obviously it must be okay. No, it's not. There is no justification in the fact that other people are doing it, so it's okay for you. My dear Islam brothers, these are just 15 acts that we've mentioned. We've just mentioned 15 acts that the unfortunate Muslim does. There are many, many other acts that the unfortunate Muslim does. But we need to reflect on ourselves. We need to look at our inner selves and think to ourselves, what am I going wrong? You know, we need to do self-accountability. That's why I ask you to download the Madani Namaz card. Download the Madani Namaz card and down, get this self-accountability. In there, it will tell you, are you doing this? Are you giving salam to people? Are you reading your namaz on a 5 times daily basis? Are you reading the Quran 3 verses a day? Are you doing Salatul Tawbah? You know, are you, refraining from lying? Are you refraining from swearing? Are you refraining from backbiting? Are you refraining from gossiping? Are you refraining from all of these sins? And it'll give you that, you say, oh yeah, well I am doing that, I bet I'll try and stop doing that. And it'll give you an opportunity to try and stop committing these sins. And it'll guide you what you should be doing as well, making good intentions before you perform any act, reading your namaz 5 times a day, fasting 1 day in the week, all of these good acts that you can do. Allahu Akbar. My dearest Lord brothers, these are golden opportunities for you. Golden opportunities for you to try and do this self-accountability. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his final khutbah, he said, I leave you 2 things, the Quran and my way. The Quran and my way. Follow them, you will never go astray. My way, what is my way? My way is the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Quran, even now where you're sitting at home, and all you've got is your TV. Where is the Quran? When was the last time you read the Quran? Do we even know where the Quran is? Or was it the last Ramadan that we opened the Quran? Or was it when somebody passed away that we opened the Quran? Viewers of Madani Channel, please make a habit of reading the Quran. The Quran are my way, follow them and you will never go astray. Read the Quran. Amir al-Sunnah in the Madani Namadkar that I mentioned, he says to us, read the Quran 3 verses a day. With translation and commentary, just 3 verses a day, make a habit of that. You know that we said that before, that the geologists, they said that when water drops on a stone, then drop, eventually these drops of water will make a hole in the stone. Just think if 3 ayats fall on your heart every day. Allahu Akbar. 3 ayats are read in your heart every day. You read 3 ayats of the Quran, what effect will that have on you if you make a habit of it on a daily basis? My way, the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala. So where is my way? Do we know what the Sunnah is? Are we living our lives according to the Sunnah, the best way of living our lives? Do we even know what the Sunnah is? Viewers of Madani Channel, there are many, many booklets that I can recommend. Go to www.dawahislami.net. Download them booklets, and in them there's also many, many guidelines of how to live your life according to the Sunnah. We do many, many actions in our lives, but if only we did them according to the Sunnah. Cutting our nails, cut our nails according to the Sunnah. You cut your nails anyway, cut them according to the Sunnah and get the sawab of it as well. We should be looking for these opportunities. You know, somebody once gave me an example, and I'll probably finish with this. He gave an example that a person goes to the doctor and he says, "Doctor, I'm ill and I've got this problem, I've got this problem." The doctor examines you, he does some tests or whatever he does, and ultimately the doctor writes a prescription. He gives you this prescription. On this prescription he'll say, "Take this medicine 3 times a day, 7 days a week, 21 days, or in some cases, take this medicine for the rest of your life, depending on whatever illness it is, diabetes, cholesterol, blood pressure, whatever it is." That person, after 3 months, he comes back to the doctor. And he says, "Doctor, you know, I came to see you 3 months ago. He said, "Yeah, you did. 3 months ago, my symptoms were like this. And now I'm even worse. Now I can't manage. I'm really, really struggling, doctor. I need your help." What's the first question the doctor's going to ask? "Did you take the medicine that I told you to take? Have you taken that medicine?" And if your reply is, "Doctors have the prescriptions here in my pocket," the doctor's going to say, "Well, what's the point in coming to me? I've given you the prescription. I've given you the cure. If you don't take it, how is it possible for you to be healed?" The Quran in my way, follow them, you will never go astray. We have been given the cure. The Quran in my way, follow them and you will never go astray. We've been given those things. They're in our houses. The Quran are in our houses. The Sunnah, the way of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are easy for us to adopt if only we learn them. The Quran are my way. Follow them, you will never go astray. What is the difference between us leaving the Quran on that top shelf and that person that's ill and is putting his prescription in his top pocket? Unfortunately, there's no difference. So please, viewers of Madani Channel, use this time wisely. Use this time to read the Quran. Use this time to make a habit of reading your Salah 5 times a day. Viewers of Madani Channel, inshallah azawajal, tonight with Madani Channel, we're coming to the end of the program now. Keep tuned to Madani Channel and take benefit from the time that you have. I pray to Allah azawajal, if we said anything good today, may Allah azawajal accept it. If we said anything wrong, then may Allah azawajal forgive us. And may Allah azawajal give us all the opportunity to benefit what we have done, to what we have said today, and pass this message on to others as well. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right.